You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello, producer Al here. It's time for another TSFP Presents re-release, and it's time for the final episode of Cult Heroes, originally released for patrons at patreon.com/TSFP. back in 2019. Now, this was a very special episode for Sid in particular, as he bored us to tears. No, let me rephrase that. He enthralled us with his tales of some of his personal favourite Real Oviedo players, and it starts with a contribution from one of them. Enjoy the show.
Hello, this is Diego Cervero, Coach Hero, and you are listening to TSFP.
You are indeed listening to TSFP. Listeners, dear patrons, welcome along to the final episode of TSFP Presents Cult Heroes. You heard a cult hero there.
What an intro. Best ever TSFP intro.
Yes. We've spoken about some great players and some great characters along this series. We thought the final episode should be dedicated to Sid. To Real Oviedo and to your personal cult
heroes. It's our most personal, most intimate episode ever.
It was a little bit of a spoiler, that message, wasn't it? It does tell us who the cult hero is.
Yes, because you've never mentioned Diego Cervero.
No, no one would have ever guessed that.
It's not like you followed him around Spain from club to club, becoming obsessed with them and then discarding them when Doc leaves.
Yeah,
pretty much.
True.
Anyway, so we'll get to Diego Cervero and why he is a huge Real Oviedo cult hero, not just for Sydney, for others.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out, this is not just me.
You've just taken it to another level.
Yes. I mean, it's mainly you, but there are other people.
It is mainly me, yes.
Yes, he does mean a lot for quite a lot of Real Oviedo fans, and you're going to explain why. But there are other Real Oviedo cult heroes that we want to talk about as well. You've compiled a small list of people that you'd like to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, look, we could have talked about Santi, and we could have talked about Juan Mata as really important figures for Oviedo, but I think we're kind of going to leave
cult heroes.
We love both of them, and they're both wonderful, but they're not really cult heroes.
Santi will be a cult hero when he comes back and plays his final season.
When he does that, it's going to be
off the scale.
Just incredible.
I mean, we'll have to go and live in Oviedo for the year.
Oh, it'd be absolutely wonderful. There's no way I'm coming back here. I'll stay in Oviedo for the entire time. And there's a handful of others that I thought maybe we could go through. I mean, Manu Busto, for example. I mean, those who don't know about Manu Busto.
Nobody knows about Manu Busto.
In the days when Oviedo were playing in Segunda B, and of course everyone just hoofed the ball long, Manu Busto was your shirt out, technical, take people on, drop the shoulder, go around people, incredibly talented, but maybe a tiny bit lazy. He's still playing, by the way. He's 39. He's playing
for
Navas.
Did you say maybe a tiny bit lazy?
Yeah. Well, put it this way. Manu Busto, nickname Vago Busto.
Right.
Because he was a little bit lazy. But he had the talent that no one else had. He went to Greece, Phil, to play for...
A lot of people do.
Leva Diakos.
Yes.
In the second division.
Is he a cult hero there?
Is he a cult hero there? I wonder if he is.
I mean, I'd like to know, who was your first Oviedo cult hero, when you became an Oviedo fan, who was your guy?
Well,
maybe that's a good place to start.
I mean, let's start with the first one. I think you're right. That is a good place to start. And in a way, this isn't really a cult hero, because as we've often said, the kind of the cult thing takes it beyond just the playing. This was just basically the best player I've ever seen play for Oviedo, and the best player any of us had seen play for Oviedo, and that is, of course, Petr Dubovský.
Right.
And Dubovský, in the year that I lived in Oviedo, which was 96-97, was just so much better than everyone else.
Mm. So to fill in a bit of backstory, he had been at Real Madrid before Oviedo, right? And he'd been bought as being a really potentially top young prospect. He was at Madrid the year they won the league. There's a photo of him and Raul holding the league trophy on the pitch, I think.
You know what? I didn't know this at the time.
Mm.
And I didn't even properly join the dots when I went to Oviedo in 96. But he played in the first game I ever saw in Spain, which was Real Madrid against Real Zaragoza in 1995, and scored as well. Scored an absolutely brilliant goal. I remember goal really clearly. I remember it being a goal scored by someone with a kind of East European name, but not really who. I didn't even, as I say, join the dots when I went to Oviedo in 96, but there he was, Peter Dubovsky in 96 in Oviedo, floaty, long hair, incredibly talented, got injured far too much, but without doubt the best player in that team by a very long way.
Oviedo were in...
and they were a good team as well, by the way. Yeah, I mean, Paolo Bento played for them, Victor Onopko played for them, Thomas Christensen, Oli, who was probably the outstanding player in that season in terms of the number of goals he got, but things happened later with Oli, which meant that Oviedo fans don't see him as a hero anymore. Admittedly, at that point,
That's a story for another time.
Well, he was one of those He was one of those players as captain who led the players in making a formal denuncia, what do you call that? Formal complaint against Oviedo for non-payment of salary. And actually, by the way, they were completely right to do so. But that led to Oviedo's administrative relegation. And so there's a sense among a lot of Oviedo fans that Oli was part of the reason that Oviedo very nearly went out of business.
Tell us more about Dubrovsky.
Well, I mean, the thing to tell you about Dubovsky really is that you just watch him and he was so elegant, he was so skillful, he scored goals but not a huge amount of them, but the team played well when he played. The team had creativity when he played. That was an Oviedo team, as I said, that had Onopko and Paolo Bento, so there wasn't an absence of good players. And the manager was Juan Melillo. There was also one other cult hero, which we'll come on to in a minute. But Dubovsky was, by far and away, the best of them. And Dubovsky was still at Real Oviedo in 2000, when he died. He was still a Real Oviedo player, although, of course, it happened in the summer when he was on holiday, and no one really knows if he would have continued or not the following season.
So he was already a cult hero. His tragic death so young, I guess...
Of course it does.
We talked about this a little bit, didn't we? How did he die?
So, well, this is the extraordinary thing. He was on holiday in Thailand, on a Thai island.
The island of Koh Samui.
Thank you.
It's probably the most famous Thai island for a lot of
people. Oh, is it? I didn't know that, but that's where he was. Right, see, I know it because that's where he died, but I must confess I couldn't remember the name. And he was visiting some waterfalls and essentially tried to get a little closer to take a picture and fell and killed himself and hit his head, lost a lot of blood before they could get to him because they couldn't get down to him as quickly as they wanted to.
Remote location in the jungle.
And so by the time they got him to hospital, he lost too much blood and he passed away while still a Real Oviedo player.
Oh, that's terrible.
It was just completely awful. And Oviedo were already obviously not the team they had been before, but they then went down the subsequent season. And I think in part... there was that sort of slight connection between the two things, at least emotionally for some Oviedo fans, this idea that those kind of two expressions of bad luck kind of came together. And who knows what would have happened if he carried on. But yeah, it's a very tragic end to a genuinely brilliant player. I was there, by the way, when Spain played against Slovakia in Oviedo Stadium about 5 years ago now, I think, and loads of fans from both sets of fans, obviously, wearing Dubovsky shirts.
Nice touch.
Which I had one as well, which I took with me, of course.
Who else, Sydney?
Right, well, from that team... Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go on for too long about this guy, but... Ay, mamá Inés, todos queremos que marque un gol a vos, Xavier. This was the kind of chant from the fans. It's from a very famous song called Ay, mamá Inés. And it was, we all want Abel Xavier to score a goal. Abel Xavier was the right back in that team.
I've got to say, of course, a lot of us are familiar with Abel Xavier, but I didn't know that he had played for Oviedo. I remember him from Everton, from Liverpool... from those days.
Yeah, well, he was at Oviedo, and obviously he's famous now, I suppose, for the yellow beard,
the yellow beard
and hair. But in Oviedo, he had very long black hair. He was kind of wild and sort of crazy, and he would bomb up and down the wing. And every time he went up the wing, people would start chanting, "Ay, Mamá Inés, we want a goal from Abel Xavier." And he never scored one. He never scored any at Oviedo. He never scored any at Everton. He never scored any in Galatasaray. He never scored any at Rome. Never scored any at Hanover. He did score two for Liverpool. And he did score one for Middlesbrough, but for Oviedo he didn't. But the thing that makes him a cult hero, because we haven't got time to go through all of these players and a lot of them, picture the scene. I am in the end at the Carlos Tartiere, watching the game. Behind us the fans are chanting. You turn round and there, with a scarf on his wrist, waving it round and round and round, with the megaphone given to him by the ultras, crapping on the prostitute mother of the referee, having a go at the other team, is Abel Xavier. He is a guy who is a hero more for what he was off the pitch than on it. There's some great stories told by youth teamers at Real Oviedo. Abel Xavier was 24 at the time. Mm. He was on his own. He lived in the middle of Oviedo. He would go to Requesón, the training ground at Real Oviedo, and go and watch the youth teamers and hang around. He would literally go into the youth team dressing room and jump up and down and sing with them and hand out his shirts to the youth teamers. And one youth teamer, who's now a journalist, which is why I know him, I guess, said that he turned up one day at the training ground in this incredibly smart sports car and basically went to the Alavinis and 2x2 gave him a ride in the sports car.
Oh, wow. Alavinis are like under 11, under 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in groups of two, come on, lads, jump in and took him for a spin in the sport car.
He's a proper cult hero then for being a massive character.
Also now called Faisal because he converted to Islam. So he's no longer called Abel Xavier. So Faisal?
Yes.
You're a cult hero.
Who is Linares and what is a muñeca negra?
Muñequera negra. Miguel Linares, I mean, in a way, maybe this shouldn't count as a cult hero. Maybe this should just count as bloody brilliant. Linares is brilliant. The year that Real Oviedo came up from the 2nd Division B into the 2nd Division, Miguel Linares scored 31 goals.
That's pretty good.
31 goals. There was a lovely headline. I'm going to read this headline to you. I've written it down somewhere if I can find it. Here we go. Headline in 2014 in Sport. Now, admittedly, Sport has an agenda of its own. It says, Miguel Linares overshadows Cristiano Ronaldo. Because at that stage in November 2014, he was the top scorer in Spain in all four divisions. No matter what level you're in, he was a top scorer in Spain. At the end of the season, he wasn't, but he did score 31 that season. And, as he says very proudly, the last ball he ever touched as a Real Oviedo player went in the back of the net.
He's another player that you sort of have followed around.
Yes, absolutely.
He's still I think he's still playing now. He's at Zaragoza, isn't he?
He's at Zaragoza now.
He's 37, I think, which for a striker, not many strikers are still playing at a good level at that age.
And he worked incredibly hard. He's very dynamic. And to take you to Muñequera Negra, of course, means black armband. He wore this black armband, which I've got one of. We'll take a picture of it and we'll put it up on the Twitter feed.
I'm surprised you don't
wear
it.
And it's got his name on it. I do wear it. It's got his name on it. And it was in honour of his father. So after every goal, he would lift his hand with the black armband. So, of course, that made for a cult thing because people would kind of treat this, you know, one armband to dominate them all. And that was Linares.
Wow. I mean, you are frequently very animated when we talk about Spanish football. But I think this might
never seen Sid like this.
Right up there with the most animated I've seen.
Trying to see how many cult heroes he can fit into about 25 minutes.
I mean, so many of these guys do feel like cult heroes for me. Just not great, not just great players, but cult heroes. Obviously, should we go on to the other really obvious one? Michu.
Okay.
Michu, cult hero. Michu, who, unlike Santi
was
and Mata...
Was he a cult hero for Oviedo? Is he a cult hero
for Oviedo? He wasn't Oviedo that long, okay. Was he?
Right, well, this is the thing, you see. So Michu, there's a couple of very good reasons for making him a cult hero, and I'm speaking fast now because I'm trying to get this all in so we can deal with the cult hero.
It's all right, we've got time.
So Michu, of course, like Santi and like Mata, went to the Premier League and became huge in the Premier League and scored 40 goals over two seasons in England. And big name then. And Oviedo fans were delighted by this. As you say, in a way you say, well, so it's not really Oviedo, but unlike Santi and Mata, he did play for Oviedo. And he played, I think it's four seasons in total for Oviedo, 2 years in Segunda B and 2 years in Tercera, in the third division.
Which is the fourth tier.
Yeah, starting in 2003. Now, remember these facts, because these will be relevant later. That team was at the point at which Oviedo were going to disappear, and the fans rescued them from going out of business in 2003. And they go into the third division basically with the youth team. So they go down to the third division. They use the youth team, which had been playing in the third division the year before, to be their new team. And Michu is part of that team. And Michu is part of that team, and he's part of the team that wins promotion to the second division B. And there's a fantastic photo of all the players in a pile, and it's almost a pyramid on the pitch celebrating. And right on the top, screaming his head off, is Michu. Now, of course, Michu becomes big because he then goes on to big things. But he didn't know he would go on to big things. So when he gets the offer to go to Sporting Gijón, it's genuinely, hang on, this is a chance to play in a top division for a player who at this point thinks that chance will probably never happen. And he says no, because Sporting is Real Oviedo's rivals. He ends up going to Celta, and of course from Celta goes to Rayo Vallecano, where I was once me and Sandoval were hit on the head by a picture of him. There was a picture of him on the wall in the manager's office at Rayo Vallecano in a frame, screaming because he scored a goal. And Sandoval goes, see that picture? That's the embodiment of the team, that is. That is what this team is all about. He starts fudding the wall with his fists. And Sandoval has big sausages for fingers and big fists. Fuds the wall. The picture literally fell down and hit us kind of both on the shoulder between the two of us.
If it had fallen down without that thumping, I was expecting this was like a sign. This was like divine intervention, you getting hit on the head by Michu's photo.
Michu, the day he gets called up for the Spanish national team, the only time he's played for Spain, he played in Mallorca. In about, I think the third... the third year after the second year in England. Okay. And so it's a little bit comes
2013,
a
2014.
Yeah, comes a little bit late. Anyway, that day he phones up the Real Oviedo striker Diego Cervero to congratulate Diego Cervero for having just scored for Real Oviedo that day in Luanco, I think it was. I'm just going to check that, in Luanco, right? And Diego Cervero basically says, what kind of dickhead are you? The day you get called up for the Spain team, you phone me to say well done for scoring a goal in the Segunda Division B.
So basically, he is, apart from being quite successful, but he is a Real Oviedo cult hero because he is a proper fan.
He's a proper fan.
And he's now working at the club, of course, as sporting director.
Well, he's not now. He's literally last week.
Oh, really?
No longer doing
so. I didn't
know that. Right, but so he gets the call up and it was all about, you know, it was all about this Oviedo player for Oviedo's fans. I remember that day, that weekend, they started chanting Michu's name when the news came through during the game that he'd just been called up to the Spain team. So Oviedo playing in this poxy little ground with 1,000 fans and they start chanting Michu's name. Michu turned up at the Spain squad and I was there and I remember this, and Michu turns up and there's a mate of his waiting for him and Juan Mata comes to kind of help him out and look after him. And it's like, well, I'll tell you what, mate, if there is one excuse to not be at Real Oviedo's playoff games in the summer, not go and watch them, it's being in Brazil, so it must have been 2013 or 2014. Mm. And he said, I don't know, maybe I'll ask for a couple of days off. Anyway, Michu, of course, then comes back to Oviedo in the second division, a big hero. By then, in truth, his ankle is gone. Mm. As you say, he becomes sporting director. But he's a proper Oviedo fan. And when the share issue happened in 2012 to try and rescue Oviedo from going out of business, he bought, quote, and this is what's been told to me inside the club, a fucking lot of shares. like
sorry,
very genuinely large numbers of shares, yeah.
Well,
so that's Michu.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Speaking of Michu.
Hello, it's Michu, and I want to tell you that the best player in Oviedo's history is the Doc Diego Cervero.
So there you go, that's Michu introducing Doc. We maybe have been a bit premature because you've still got some of this.
I know, I'm sorry about this. Obviously, I wanted to mention Toche very briefly just because he scored loads of goals. And there's an image, a lovely image of Toche when he scores the late equaliser against Sporting Gijón, takes off the Real Oviedo armband, the captain's armband, which says Orgullo Valor de Garra on it. What would you call that? Pride, fighting spirit and bravery. And he holds it open wide as if it was a scarf in front of the Oviedo fans. That's a nice iconic image. So that's him. And the other one, of course, is Esteban. Now, I didn't know this, but Esteban, the Real Oviedo goalkeeper.
I feel like I didn't know it either.
I'm going to tell you this. I didn't know this, but Real Oviedo. Well, I did know this. Real Oviedo, the Esteban, the Real Oviedo. I'm completely gone.
I've never seen you this excited.
You might want to listen to this podcast on half speed, patrons, just to be able to keep up with Sid's in his brain.
Okay. I feel like I've completely gone. Esteban, Real Oviedo goalkeeper, I didn't know this, saved a shot in the last minute to give Real Oviedo a victory in the first ever game I saw Real Oviedo play.
Ooh.
But here's the twist. This was in October 1996, and it was actually Real Oviedo's B team. I went to see Real Oviedo B against Deportivo B, the first game I ever saw in Oviedo, and in the last minute, he makes this incredible save for the B team. He makes it to the first team, Esteban, I know you're laughing already. He makes it to the first team. He's part of that team that actually goes down in 2001.
Right.
He, of course, goes on to Almeria, Atletico Madrid, Sevilla, got called up to the Spanish national team four times, but never played for them, was always the third-choice goalkeeper, had a really good career. And then, and this is the big thing, Esteban left Almeria with a first division contract to go and play in the second division B for Real Oviedo. His phrase was, I have a friend who's in need. And he went to Oviedo and bought Oviedo up to the second division.
That's pretty legendary, I have to say.
Earning five times less than he would have been on at Almeria. 3,000 people at his transition. Did you know he had one chance to go to England? Bolton wanted him, but he never went.
Top lad. There we go. Nice one, Esteban. Didn't know that.
Now can we talk about Doc?
Yeah, go on then. Let's talk about Doc.
Right, let's talk about Doc.
I mean, where do we start with Doc?
Well, I'll just introduce to the people who don't know this. Diego Cervero, a.k.a. Doc, is Sid's favourite player of all time. And I'm not only is he Sid's favourite player, he's also your son's favourite player as well. So your son goes to watch a lot of games. He's a young lad. He watches a lot of football. And he often confuses people when people ask him, you know, Spaniards, who do you like, Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo? Who's your favourite player? And he goes, Diego Cervero. Yeah. To the bemusement of almost everyone.
Yes. And to the delight of Doc himself.
Yes.
I mean, I should probably add at this stage, a lot of these cult heroes, not all of them, and I won't go through and just to tell you which ones yes and which ones no, a lot of these cult heroes have become even more cult hero for me because
they saw your mates now.
Because on a personal level, a lot of them have been absolutely wonderful, not so much with me, but as you say, with my little boy. They have treated him fabulously well. And so a lot of them are lovely as well. Genuinely lovely people.
But you have sort of become like one, maybe your second team, first Real Oviedo, and then your second team is Diego Cervero FC.
Yes.
Because wherever he's playing, you've followed him.
Yeah.
So you've heard Sid, who had a season ticket out for Fuenlabrada.
Yeah.
Because Diego Cervero was playing.
Yeah, always going up to Burgos.
You're going up to Burgos, you're going up to Mirandés.
Yeah. And actually, although I haven't been to see him play for Atletico Baleares, I did go and see him play in Madrid for Atletico Baleares. He didn't actually play.
Team. Well, he's not playing much.
He
now,
did a great cult hero thing, which I pointed out to you two. After the game, so obviously at Segunda B level, some players, especially when it's that kind of team, come to the stands.
Yes.
And one of the players is talking to some fans, and Doc's walking behind us, behind him, because actually, in truth, because he's seen us, he's coming over to say hello to us in the stands. And he's walking behind the stands, and he hears this player say to the fans, no, I can't give you the shirt because they won't let us. Doc walks behind him, pulls the shirt off his back and hands it to the fans and says, of course you can, and gives them the shirt.
So tell us a bit then why...
Right, well,
and
so
what
much.
Kind, what, we haven't even said what kind of player he is. Yes,
Diego Cervero, right, I'm going to use Diego Cervero's own words, right? Diego Cervero is a player who's got two problems. One is his left foot, the other is his right foot. Those are Doc's own words. Clumsy, slow, but fought like anything.
I mean, he is, you say slow.
Like, but he's not actually clumsy or slow, and I'm going to defend him.
I was going to say he is, I've commentated games that he's played in the last few years, so in the latter stage of his career, he is very slow.
But he's
got a turning circle of I don't know what.
I'm going to defend him on this, because I mean, defend him. He's the one that said it. I've got a problem with 2 feet, but... I think if he'd been fast, he would have played first division football because actually his touch is really good. His awareness is really good. He understands the game really well. His attitude is absolutely fantastic. He works incredibly hard. He can be dirty when he needs to be, truth be told. He puts himself about. He's got something about him.
He's only ever played Segunda B.
Well, he's played Tercera. He played Tercera with Michu.
Highest he's ever played is Segunda B.
No, because he went to the... Oh, no, he left Oviedo before they played in the second division. Yes.
He left Mirandés as well. They got promoted to the second division.
That's
true. He's never played
it. It's like his work is done.
Yeah.
He moves on.
Well, strange to say his work is done because when he went and played for Oviedo in the third division, he said a phrase, which is, I swear on my mother and father's life that I have to die before I leave Oviedo, not in the Segunda B. We will get them in Segunda B. I am not leaving before that happens. And of course, that happened. He helped them to promotion. Let me read you a phrase, right, which kind of sums Doc up. This is from La Voz de Asturias, one of the Asturian newspapers.
One of the finest newspapers in the north of Spain.
Certainly is true about this, right? Diego Cervero is much more than a football player. He's the symbol of the resurrection of a team. He's one of those figures that are absolutely necessary if you want to tell the history of a sporting entity. When the worst things were happening, when it was well beyond football, when they were well out of football, professional football, he was the man able to represent upon the pitch the fight of the fans off it. And that's Doc in a way, because he comes into the first team in 2003, as we've said with Michu, that time when Oviedo are about to go out of business, but it's the fans that rescue them. He comes from the youth system where he's been since the age of 9. He gets called up by Antonio Rivas, who's a former player running the club at the time, and he's in the car on his way to Yanis. And Antonio Rivas phones him up, and he's a youth team. He's in the filial at this point. He says, we want you to play for Real Oviedo next season. Go home, think about it, talk to your parents, and speak to me tomorrow. Diego Ferreira stops the car, turns around, drives to the Real Oviedo offices, and signs the contract. Hasn't even told his parents. Goes home, says to his parents, I've just signed up for the first team. That's what I want to do. He then goes with Manuel Lafuente, who's a president at the time, and stands in the middle of the stadium, and Lafuente says to him, imagine this, fool, chanting your name, chanting Oviedo's name, we're going to bring this team back. We are the resurrection of this team. And Doc was the resurrection. Doc
took a while.
It took a while. They got up to the second division B.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was then, and this is the other thing in all of this, he scored not the decisive goal, but actually I think the most important goal in the playoffs when Real Oviedo went up from the second division B to the second division in 2000, which it was at 14, against Cardiff, a header. Now, watch it on YouTube, because I can't do it justice. Watch the celebration. And the celebration is of a man who has totally and utterly lost his mind, because this is everything to Diego Ferreira.
Why do you call him Doc?
Because he has a medical degree. He is finishing off his medical studies. He has a master's in sports nutrition. He wants to be a doctor when this is all finishes. One of the reasons why he made some of the career choices he made, because he's played at Marbella, he's played at Logroñés, he's been around, was to do his medical studies and be able to play football at the same time. That's the reason he left Oviedo the first time. He's been left Oviedo three times and gone back each time until obviously the final one. His debut, when he makes his debut, he doesn't score. He doesn't score for 9 weeks. In week 10, he scores. That day, he gets four. This is kind of the sort of the madness of Doc. And as I say, he's the symbol. He scored in the playoffs when they go up to the second division B against Mallorca. He scores in the playoffs when they go up from the second division B to the second division in Cádiz. He plays in the second division, and he's got an honesty which says, I'm not good enough for the second division. This is my level. Only two players have ever scored more goals than him for Real Oviedo. Those are Langara and Ederita. 141 goals for Real Oviedo, admittedly nearly all in the second division, second division B and the third division. In that first season, when he starts getting going, he scores 26. The year after, he scores 35 goals. And he reckons he's only ever missed one penalty, and he's taken about 80 in his career. Doesn't miss penalties.
That's a pretty good ratio.
That's an incredible ratio.
You asked him to send us a message expressing what Oviedo mean to him, Sid, and the response was quite extraordinary.
Should we have a listen to it?
Real Oviedo is for me, it's my life, Real Oviedo, and I'm meet forever, Real Oviedo forever.
Wow, so
he's a singer, he's a performer, he's a footballer, he's a doctor.
But at heart, he's an Oviedo fan.
Well, that's fun. He absolutely is. Yeah. A year ago when Oviedo played...
You go and watch games with him.
Well, a year ago when Oviedo played in Malaga, he sort of said, oh, where are you going at the weekend? Oh, I'm going to go see this game and this game, and I'm going to go to Malaga on the Monday night. He said, oh, Monday night, and can you get to Malaga easy? I said, well, the Ave from Madrid is well fast. He said, all right, I might go. And I thought, yeah, right, whatever. I'm on the Ave message. I'm in the cafeteria, and he's in the cafeteria. And I suspect, I hope I'm not betraying a confidence here. He started on the beers.
He's had a few beers. Well, you know,
it was great fun. So watching Oviedo in Malaga. He's a complete legend, a total and utter legend.
I think you've conveyed that, and I've understood a little bit more now why you love him so much. I have to say.
Did you notice that when I said something mildly critical about his lack of pace, Sid's whole body language changed.
It's true. I crossed his arms. I tightened up. Yeah. Didn't I? There was a lovely interview with him. He says, you've scored 141 goals. Which goals did you not score that you would have liked to? And I really love this response. He said, I didn't score in the first division, I didn't score in the second division, and I didn't score in a derby against Sporting. Those are the three goals I'd have liked to score for Real Oviedo.
Oh, well, there's still time.
I suspect there isn't, in truth, but he's still brilliant.
There we go. It's been a little bit self-indulgent, but hopefully it's been quite fun listening to Sid talk about
his... Yeah, we've enjoyed it.
Yeah, he's Real Oviedo, cult heroes. Hope you've enjoyed listening to this edition of TSFP Presents. We'll be back with another series very, very soon. See you then. Adios.
Cheerio.
Bye.